Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
On the first day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me a
this guy
in a tree. On the second day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me two and a
this guy
in a tree. On the third day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me three
Punch Crunch
two and a
this guy
in a tree.
Hey, what about me?
On the fourth day of Hanukkah, my Gruden gave to me
Ahayah
four
fire, fire.
Three
Punch Crunch
two and a
this guy
in a tree.
You yodel.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me
5,000 passes a day.
Punch Crunch.
Two. And a
this guy
in a tree.
This guy's on fire.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me six.
Bon Jovi.
5,000 passes a day.
I like his jeans.
Four.
Fire, fire.
Three.
Punch Crunch.
Two. And a
this guy
in a tree.
And let's skip a few.
On the twelfth day of Christmas, my Gruden gave to me 12
cockroaches.
11
interpretator.
10,
dressed as the Joker.
9
Melissa the sheriff.
8
call him T Sizzle.
7
I can't even get over
6,
it.
Bon Jovi.
5,000 passes a day.
4
fire, fire.
3
Punch Crunch.
2
Neil.
And
this guy
in a tree.
If I had a body like that, I'd be at the beach every day.
Quentin, what's up, man? Hey, you fired up? All they keep telling me and all they told me is how damn good you are.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. As we get towards the holidays here, after today, there will be 7 shows left in the year, which is a grueling yet wonderful time. This Friday, we have our big show dinner. And then on Saturday, I'll be attending the Holiday Pops, where I was reminded yesterday through my wife's Facebook at one point, Rich and I did the 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. Enjoyed that.
Oh, it was miraculous.
I did. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to.
It was, well, it was 5 minutes of glee. But, and so then we will move on. We will move on to the holiday. It's a very difficult time of year to get motivated. Very difficult time of year to get motivated.
Well, December's always a pain in the ass just because of everything else going on just all around us. I mean, it's like if you have any kind of like family situation, I mean, school, everything's due at the end of the year. There's all of this crap with, like, you know, all these parties that are being hosted and all this stuff you got to do on that side of it. Every sport is trying to wrap up and it's getting like these banquets and all that they've got for that. And then on top of that, you've also have to deal with everything that's going on with just the Christmas aspect with it, of getting everything like together for the holidays. And it's a pain in the butt. Yes, Fred, I agree with you. I can't wait till this is done and over with.
No, I don't think it's a pain. Christmas is the one time of year that I enjoy, but it's just when one knows that work is over around the corner, that's a very exciting thing. And every time you wake up, Then I think to myself, all right, so this is only seven more times I have to wake up.
Short timer's disease.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is.
Yep. Well, Walk, you don't even have seven. You have six.
I actually have an extra vacation day. I discovered two, so it's only five.
Yes, you're out on Wednesday and Friday.
It might be Wednesday. I have to talk to the bosses. Definitely out next Friday and probably next Wednesday.
So you're
going to
take off Wednesday, come back Thursday, and then take off Friday?
Yeah, I have to be in town for something else on Wednesday anyway.
What?
It's not important.
What?
I have to be in town for something else on Wednesday.
What?
It's not important.
No, it's obviously important.
I cannot disclose that at this time.
Is it a surprise party for someone?
No, it's something else.
Is it a secret that no one can know?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's a secret. You're mm-hmm. surprising someone then.
Correct.
Okay, so you got to be in town.
Yes.
You found an extra vacation day.
Yes, I have an extra vacation day.
And now how many weeks vacation do you get?
Four.
And you don't take vacation in February or March?
Correct.
Okay, so you're here all of the winter months.
Yes. So I took 2 weeks off during the summer, and now I have a couple of days lying around during the winter.
That was going to be our in-studio Dungeons & Dragons game on the day that you're
I'm sorry.
So unfortunately, I think that's just out the window. You were the Dungeon Master, and you can't have that game without the Dungeon Master.
I'm sorry.
It's not that good that you're doing that. I mean, come on.
I had professional Dungeon Masters actually reach out to me yesterday, and
I did too. I did too.
Dude, I have the Gary Gygax stuff. You can borrow it anytime you want. Just hit me up.
All right. So there was like male models and people reaching out to you.
I have a guy who legit said, if you need figurines, give me a call.
I mean, it was awesome. The D&D community has embraced the Toucher and Rich show.
Really?
If you did not hear it the other day in a show meeting, it just shows the kind of delirium that happens sometimes when you're lacking sleep. And we're just like, what if we did an on-air Dungeons & Dragons game? Because nothing would sound better on the radio than John Walk being a Dungeon Master. And to that, I tweeted it out because I knew two things were going to happen. One, there would be listeners who understood and got it and realized that we were being delirious and throwing that out there. And then there was the, you know, there's sports going on. Yeah. There's sports guys.
Right.
But then Brandon Merriweather just said, oh, hell no. And he put, well, Dick, where you at? Hosting a D&D game.
Yeah,
he didn't like he didn't like the idea that Wallach would do that.
The best part when we had Merriweather on last year, I remember we were talking, whatever we were talking about, and Merriweather was like, yeah, you know, Waldick, I got a guy who works for me who's just like you. You guys should meet.
There was this Asian guy that he called.
Great, all right.
Like the brain or something like that.
Yeah.
And he thought that, he reminded you of him.
You guys would be best friends.
Just like you. Thanks, Brandon.
He'd be in Brandon's inner circle.
Right.
But that was the best friend. I don't know if
park his cars or something.
But I got maybe a half dozen emails from people who are... One guy said he was a professional Dungeons & Dragons player, which I don't know how...
How do you get paid for that?
He's won, tournaments, and I guess you win money. I thought Dungeons & Dragons is you made stuff up. I didn't know there was, a skill.
Millions. Tournaments. Where do they hold those?
Maybe it's a storytelling skill. Well, I mean, there's a
just
million...
Just like poker. They hold it in Vegas.
Well, I mean, Fred and I went
to... That's what Binion's does.
Fred and I went to a convention one time, and it was just an entire ballroom filled with people playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Really?
And we got into one of the games. They did not like our storylines that we were throwing out there.
Oh.
But, I mean, that was definitely a... The D&D community has embraced us and said, if you need bones to be rolled, we have the bones for you. And they had, plenty of literature to make sure you had a nice realistic storyline, John?
I can only imagine. I had guys saying, you can borrow my Fiend Folio. And I thought of you immediately when he said it.
Be still my beating heart.
What?
That someone could, that you could borrow their Fiend Folio.
I thought you were looking at your phone, I thought it was something like
was
breaking
because,
news type of thing.
No, because one of the people actually ended their email with a joke. So we'd like to hear a joke, and it said, why do dragons refuse to eat paladins? Because they taste so lawful.
Okay, well, I don't know anything about that, but nonetheless.
Okay.
Because they are lawful and not chaotic neutral.
That's true. A lot of D&D players listen to the program.
I got emails, exciting.
You got emails.
They keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, how there's that situations in some cities where there's the down low and people are like creeping. That's what it is. It's a D&D down low.
That's right. That's why we'll always be number one, is that we have the five D&D players on the planet still listening to us. was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, it's the holiday season and everyone's going to have a wonderful time. And today we have a Billy Jaffe in studio. We will talk to Mike Gorman. We will have our best of, which I'm told is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so much more. I was listening to the Adam Jones show last night, and it was they had like 20 minutes before the Bruins game that they did, and it was entirely on a conversation between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
Oh, it's great. That was really funny.
At the Garden. Well, it's not good for 30 minutes.
No, but it was the ultimate in ego stroking. It was just so
well.
Like,
Jones
the ultimate in vanity.
Jones' his take was they were talking about both playing for the Celtics.
Huh. Oh, no. There's no.
Well, there was a half an hour of it. There was a solid half an hour of that. And,
of them saying that they were going to play for the Celtics?
I stopped paying attention.
They were talking about the Knicks. They were trolling the Knicks.
No. But there's different opinions on that. And there was a transformer down in Newton. It was on Route 9, so it took forever to get to where we needed to go. And we had kids in cars, so I had the station on. And that was the topic of discussion. It was a good, solid half an hour on some dumb energy exchange between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Which, if you thought it was funny, I can assure you it wasn't after a while.
it was the ultimate stroking of...
Mind-numbingly boring.
It was the most masturbatory, like, 10 minutes of an interview I've ever heard.
Well, no, they
you
were...
You made me great. No, man, you made me great.
Oh, and then they say I'll see you in the Garden?
Yeah, they're talking about the Knicks. They were trolling the Knicks.
Well, okay. Well, that was not the theory last night. All right, we will be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
The Bruins. They have a very interesting win yesterday, and on top of that, we will get to some strangeness going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what might be coming up this week and who you might expect on the field, because there are a lot of question marks as of now.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich very quickly. Daniel, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. Steak and egg.
Hey.
Just doing a morning workout, and at 6:01, when Wallach was reading the sports headlines, he actually said, game time decision, John Wallach.
Did I really? Instead of John Wall, I said John Wallach?
Oh, you did. No, I had to... Pause a second, but good luck, John.
Thanks, yeah. I appreciate it.
Because he imagines himself as being the most important cog of the Celtics team. He's on the court. It's in his dreams. He's in there.
Is that what you're doing?
Dunkaroo.
Are you doing a Celtics game?
No.
There's some sort of surprise going on,
mm-hmm.
And I don't like it.
On Wednesday, yes.
I want to know what it's doing. Hmm. A Wednesday's no time for a surprise.
When is it time for a surprise?
Friday.
Oh. I already have that day off.
Well, this Friday.
Oh.
So Wednesday is a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
A celebratory thing?
I can't say.
Are we going to get a surprise Sarge appearance to take your spot?
I don't know. I haven't gotten the day off officially yet. I have to talk to management first.
Okay. Right. Good luck with that. That takes
That's a good point. Fred's got his own problems with that.
I want a day off, and I don't know why it's a pain in everyone's ass, but it is. All right, what is going on, Rich?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get 2 for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' go twos. Participation may vary. David Krejci returns to the first line and causes an offensive explosion.
McAvoy, stick handles, dishes across for Grizzlick. Fed it ahead, and it lays free for Marchand. 2-on-2, left circle, shoots the puck, and they score! He had David Pastrnak breaking, sent it across right on his tape far side. He deposits it by Darcy Kuemper, and the Bruins have tied the Coyotes at 2.
Pasta, Krejci, Marchand. That was your top line yesterday in the Bruins' 4-3 win over Arizona. It was a pretty ugly win, aside from the fact that for a span of about 4 minutes, That first line went nuts.
Here's Pastrnak off the turnover, twists to the high slot. Now looks in, right of the net, tapped out in front. They score! Brad Marchand stayed with it at the top of the blue paint, shoveled in a backhand. No chance for Kemper. 4-2 Bruins.
Yep, three consecutive goals in 4 minutes. After that, the team hung on for dear life and got the win. A scary moment, however, during the game when David Backes took a skate to the face in the first period. It's always terrifying when you just saw him run right off the ice and down the tunnel. I mean, no hesitation.
And then he came back.
Running.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Because he's a hockey player.
Because he's a hockey player.
I mean, a hockey player who had was finally having a little success.
Yeah.
And he needed to get back on the ice post-haste.
On top of that, I mean, Charlie McAvoy, it's just, injure me, please. I mean, every time he's out there, he seems to be getting hurt. He took a high stick as well. Here is Cassidy on all the on-ice weirdness yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't know what happened at first, but the way he came off, and he figured it was more than a high stick. Those are tough, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, like up around your eyes too. But he was able to play through it. I'm sure he'll be sore tomorrow. Charlie too got a high stick under the visor, so he's had some tough luck lately, but he's battling through it. So a bit like our game tonight, wasn't pretty.
So much blood when that happens too. Like when you get a skate to the face. Remember when Sean Thornton tripped and fell right on the back of that guy's skate?
Yep.
And he ended up having the Harry Potter thing in the middle of his forehead?
Yeah, he had a big question mark scar in his forehead.
Yes.
Yeah, you're hitting a blade. I mean, you're falling onto a metal blade.
But it seemed even worse with him because he tripped into it. Like it was just like almost like a horror movie.
There's some people who've almost died right there on the ice.
Well, the guy got that, his neck slid. It's still one of the worst clips that you could possibly watch. I even forget the guy's name, but that was one of the that's another one that all I had to see was once, never need to see it again.
So you got there was a half an hour documentary on it
on just that guy getting his throat slit. Who was that, by the way?
The goaltender for Buffalo, correct?
I'm not sure. I know it's a goaltender. I don't remember who he played for, though.
And he he got the I would know if I thought about it, but yeah, he got the skate to the throat, and they fixed that up right away.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to die. Apparently, he would died. He would have died if
it
not.
Got the jugular, right?
I mean, he would have died if it was not handled absolutely correctly.
Clint Malarchuk is the guy's name.
Yeah, he would have died if it was not handled exactly correctly on the ice. Like the good work of a couple people that saved his life. He could have died on the ice. I mean, blood was spewing everywhere.
Yeah, that was awful.
It was everywhere. It was over the boards and onto people. Blood. Sweet, sweet human blood.
It was Buffalo.
So yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Nice job.
Thanks, man. Mm-hmm. I remember every time someone was cut with a skate. By the way, the Ryan Nugent Hopkins trade looks like that might be a good idea. I mean,
he was pretty good last night. I noticed that.
But looks like they might be something they're interested in, considering they had to front load that line and no one is doing anything else. That might be a good idea.
Even if it means getting rid of DeBrusk?
No, I wouldn't get rid of
it. Because I think he's the name that's being thrown out there, right?
No,
as being
it's
part of the
Krug,
trade.
And then it's any litany of the young players. DeBrusk would be the Oilers' top choice, but that doesn't mean that would happen. I mean, it could be, you know, Heinen. It could be who scored last night. It could be Carlson. There's a lot of guys that it could be, but no, I don't think they'd give up DeBrusk.
Well, Brad Marchand, for one, seemed to be enjoying playing alongside David Krejci. He was asked about it afterwards.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, Krejci, he's such a good player, the way he sees the ice and the plays that he makes. So it's great to be able to connect on a few, and you know, it's fun to win, so we're enjoying it right now.
Well, a little bit of good news yesterday. Both Bergeron and Char are back to skating on their own as they recover from their injuries. They're saying Bergeron is still at least a week or two away from any practice activity, and we're still about a week away until we get another update on Zdeno Chara, according to the timeline that was initially laid out after he was hurt. Meanwhile, Jake DeBrusk, he's meeting with some specialists after missing last weekend's two games because he was, quote, not feeling well. Now, Bruce Cassidy kept saying the word protocol, which makes you think he suffered a concussion and then possibly played through a bunch of games afterwards before ultimately coming out of the lineup. It's got to be when he took the shot to the back of the head in that Toronto game.
Maybe he's got Rhea. I mean, you never know.
Well, did you hear Joel Embiid yesterday?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, like he missed a game the other day, and they asked, you know, what was wrong, and he said,
I have migraine and diarrhea.
Nothing better than when just an athlete's completely honest that they had the score.
That gets nothing. That never is old to me. And I like the way that he said Rhea.
Migraine and diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Did you say diarrhea?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Migraine. I thought he just went to Rhea.
No, migraine, diarrhea.
I just said Rhea.
Migraine and diarrhea.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
It's just like straight faced, like, you know, don't care. It's kind of like, you know,
why is that? I'm about to be 44 next month, and when someone says diarrhea, it still makes me laugh.
I was sick. Well, I had a lot of diarrhea. That's what you want to know.
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a lot of diarrhea. Yeah, I had an idea, and then why is it funny? I mean, save it. Yeah, the off day, I had a lot of diarrhea.
Thank you, Chan Ho Park.
Yeah, Chan Ho Park's diarrhea, the situation was just a delight.
Yeah.
I mean, what more could you ask for?
Well, we could ask Jake DeBrus next time we have him on whether he had a lot of diarrhea.
We'll see if when that happens. But
that was scary, though. I mean, it was kind of shocking that he got right back out and continued to play. And now we know that he obviously probably had a concussion at the time. And at one point was just like, I this is not easy for me. So
well, maybe he was in the locker room and they heard he was sliding into home.
And his rear was full of foam?
His pants began to foam, but we all have different ways of saying that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe he was just in the locker room, and then they heard explosions of wet diarrhea.
We had a debate on what was sliding into second the other day, and I couldn't remember.
Was I here?
What's that?
Was I here?
No, it was at home. It was sliding into first, your rear is about to burst.
Sliding into first.
Sliding into second, and you don't think you can make it?
That doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. Sliding into second, if anyone knows, I have to complete the poem. Sliding into third, you feel a juicy turd.
Right.
Home is the foam one.
See, ours was sliding into third, and you feel... And you feel like you may, I forget.
And there's, if you're sliding in a double and you feel a juicy bubble.
Ours was sliding into home and your pants begin to foam.
Okay.
Sliding into first and your pants begin to burst. See, we were classy. We just talked about the pants.
and not your rear end?
Not the anal activity. We just, we talked about the pants.
Okay, I see.
Farmington Hills at Wood Creek Elementary. We kept things a little bit... classy.
Well, we'll find out what base Jake DeBrusk was sliding into next time we have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's just a solid case of real.
Well, next up, the Bruins take on the Penguins Friday night. And, of course, you can hear that right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They ought to win that game. But, yes, I'm thinking now that this Nugent Hopkins thing is a good idea.
If you don't include DeBrusk.
I wouldn't trade DeBrusk and Krug, no.
We are apparently reaching a consensus that you're sliding into second and you feel something pecking.
Nope. Mm. That's not it.
I've had several people say that, but I don't know if that's...
So if you get Nugent Hopkins and you get Bergeron back, now you have two lines. Because it could be... What shot is DeBrusk? Is he left or right?
I know he's second in goals.
Because
right
Hopkins...
Now.
I know. But Hopkins is left shot. So could you put DeBrusk and Hopkins on the same line with Krejci centering? Because that now you got two lines, which would be excellent.
When you're rounding second base and you get Bob Wiley face?
Hey, everybody.
That's how he just tweeted it.
Yeah. Oh, they're both lefties.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a Bob Wiley.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta... When... Okay, here we go. Hey, 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 what about the songs of diarrhea? Don't say a word, cause I gotta make a turn. Hey, 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 I'm all clogged up today. Hey, do you have a laxative, don't you say?
sliding into two and your pants are filled with goo.
Hey, 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 what's the word? Hey, 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 what's folds? Hey, 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 did you notice my rash?
Did you notice your rash?
Sometimes when you got a poop, you got to pick it up and see what's doing on your skin.
Sliding into second when the turtle head beckoned.
Hey, 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 did you see what's going on to my skin? Green fur.
Oh,
hey, green fur. Hey, 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 ointment.
Green fur.
Green fur under a fold.
Doesn't sound healthy.
Green fur under a fold. Pass one down, pass it around. Bob Wiley's got a foot. I don't have all day to shower.
Sure. Just maybe like a wet nap or something might take care of that.
No, I just take a stick with a towel on the end and push it down my back. Hey, do you have something so I can reach my extremities? All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, there is some interesting news coming out from the winter meetings in Las Vegas involving the Red Sox.
Okay.
Major players that seem to be on the trading block. We will get John Wallach's very concerned about things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's as concerned as my proctologist. Leave me alone. I'm comfortable with my body.
Okay.
Right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, pardon me if my ribs are broken right now. I just went into the other room and I said, hey, Bird, do me a favor. Come grab me when there's a minute left so I can get back into the studio. And so I'm in the other room and Mike Lockhart, and not Bird, comes in and goes, dude, you're about to go back on the air. I'm like, what? So I go running down the hallway as I hear the joiner that we're about to go on the air. And Bird comes crushing around the corner and with his Everett linebacker body just goes and just smashes into me, just like right into my chest. And I'm not kidding you. For a second there, I actually thought something kind of snapped. I think I heard like a little bit of a pop. So
it's the Everett hug.
I want to
is that what it's called?
Thank Bird for not only being prompt on his
I reminded him.
Yeah, Dan reminded him. But you know what? F me. I asked Bird to do something that was timely, and that's on me. That is my fault. That is
that's
my
right.
fault for
He's
that.
Got to answer the phones.
And now my ribs are the ones paying the price. Okay, so there has been some interesting reports that have come out regarding the Red Sox yesterday. As a matter of fact, according to Bob Nightingale, who's a pretty ironclad source, he said that the Red Sox are trying to clear salary space for bullpen help and are openly listening to offers on Rick Porcello, and rivals insist that they are also willing to talk about Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. He also said that the Red Sox, who had the highest payroll last season, are looking to clear some more payroll space, and they wonder if Rick Porcello is available in the right deal. This is interesting, because now that you've got Xander Bogaerts' name being thrown out there and Jackie Bradley Jr., Rick Porcello as well, that would be kind of funny if it was the Nathan Eovaldi deal that kept you from keeping Xander Bogaerts.
No, that's what it would be.
Yeah, or it would be Porcello, or six of one half dozen of the other. Yeah.
Sure, but I mean, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr., I wouldn't have too big of a problem with.
Gold Glove winner.
Understood.
Gold Glove winner.
But you
big in the ALCS. A whole new way of hitting. Went to see J.D. Martinez's hitting instructor, and now it's all different.
Yeah, he was finished up about hitting about 215. Everything was coming.
It was something in the World Series, but who's keeping track?
But J.D. Martinez's hitting instructor told him everything.
But would that piss you off if they sign Eovaldi to that deal, and then in order to try to make space for it, they get rid of Xander Bogaerts?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Red Sox quickly denied that and said, oh, we're listing. We'd have to be blown away to trade away Xander Bogaerts. But let's say for a second, that's true. It was a wild overpay. We're all in agreement in this room. It was a wild overpay on Nathan Eovaldi.
I didn't have too big of a problem with it.
Well, I mean, it wasn't. You don't have too big of a problem with it because the Red Sox, in theory, had enough money to spend anyway.
Right.
But what if they didn't? What if they didn't and it cost you Xander Bogaerts in the final year of his contract? I mean, you're going to get a big season from Bogaerts in the final year of his contract because he's playing for his next one. So if you, in theory, are trying to go win again, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face in a huge way.
You re-sign Nathan Eovaldi and you get rid of Xander Bogaerts? That's insane thinking.
I don't think they're going to get rid of Bogaerts. I think that they're they'll get rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. They probably want to get rid of, and I have no idea who's going to take him and for what you'll get in return. But people, you know, there's going to be a market for Porcello.
Sure. He's set to make $21 million this year and would be the third highest player on the Red Sox behind J.D. Martinez and David Price. So, I mean, that's a consideration to make. Now, the Porcello news is interesting. It's not shocking. But, I mean, this is a team that right now you're looking at a lot of different pieces that are going to go. All of a sudden, you're lined up to pay a lot of people a lot of money.
Right. Does Porcello make more than Sale?
Oh, a lot more.
$21 million makes.
They had Sale on the cheap. He signed an extremely team-friendly deal with Chicago that expires after next season.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, you got Eovaldi. You didn't pay him to be your fourth starter. So, yeah, he'll be your third starter. They'll jettison Porcello.
And if that's the case, are you convinced Eovaldi's going to hold up the entire year?
No. But I never loved Porcello.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he won a Cy Young, but I never loved Porcello.
He's a guy that can probably get you, whatever, between 12 and 15 wins.
Right.
Sales schedule, by the way, according to Dan, $15 million this year.
No, he
less than Eovaldi. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And he's going to make a lot of money next year from somebody at this time, regardless of what his injury history is. Whatever the Sox look like next year, I think is going to be dramatically different than what they look like in 2020. I mean, they have big contracts coming up. And whether you choose to re-sign Xander Bogaerts is just the first step, because you do have Sale and Betts to worry about after that. So you can't pay Bogaerts $20 or $25 million. You have to think about these things. And I don't know, you know, they have a bunch of prospects in the system.
No, they
don't. Infielders maybe, not pitching. That's the difference. They have this kid, Chavis, who can play shortstop and third base, maybe even second base, if it opens up and, say, Pedroia can't play next year. But Chavis, before he got popped for drugs, was really doing well in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I'm not sitting by that system, that minor league system.
No, there's no pitching anywhere within 3 years from now.
And if you have Dombrowski as a general manager, I'm not overly convinced that that's going to go your way.
Well, that's just it. And that's the first thing I thought of. It sounds like a general manager who has no experience rebuilding a franchise is trying to rebuild the franchise.
Right. He won his World Series. You got what Dombrowski came to do. And I'm not being sarcastic. You won your World Series. And now the fallout must begin.
That's the thing. I mean, when Dombrowski made all these deals, when he traded for Kimbrel, when he traded for Sale and gutted your farm system, we all sat here and said, okay, you have basically a three-year window before all of these contracts come due. And this past season was year two.
Right, and he won a World Series.
You got to your World Series. You have 1 year left. Maybe make another run if he doesn't make any deals. And then Dombrowski will do what he always does, leave you with a bunch of contracts and a bunch of free agents and no farm system to replace any of it.
Right.
And that's 2020.
He won a World Series, which is all you can ask for.
Yep.
I mean, if you win a World Series, you got to take, you have to take the good with the bad. I mean, if it takes 4 years to rebuild, I'd take that if you got a World Series. If you won a World Series.
But Dombrowski's never around for it to happen.
No.
He gets you. He spends as much money as the owner will let him. He trades away as many prospects as you can possibly get in there. And he brings in all the top flight guys. He'll get you a run to the ALCS or the World Series. Maybe you win it. Maybe you don't. Red Sox did win theirs. And then the aftermath is usually ugly. Look at the Marlins. Look at Detroit. It happens that way. So it's the next guy's problem, not his.
Well, there is also a player of, I guess, a big interest from the Red Sox when it comes to a relief pitcher, and that's David Robertson, who played for the Yankees over the last couple of seasons. They are heavy on him, is according what the New York Post said Tuesday morning. Also, John Heyman, a fan cred, said that Adam, is it Ottavino?
It's Ottavino,
yes. He's also high on the list of bullpen targets as well.
Ottavino is interesting because he was horrendous 2 years ago and lights out last year. So if you pay for him, and he's 33, so he was great last year. I think it was for Colorado. I don't know if he can close for you. He's been a setup guy his whole career. But, I mean, you're paying for last year and not his history. So that's somewhat dangerous. At least with Robertson, you have a pretty good track record.
Right. Like Evaldi.
Same thing with Evaldi.
Yeah. Sustained success and
Let's double down. Let's double down.
Why not? Take
see what you get.
One-hit wonder that's been through the ringer. All right, Rich, we are going to take a break, and then what will we discuss?
All right, let's talk a little bit about the weirdness that's going on with the Steelers right now.
All right. There is weirdness. A lot of people playing Dungeons & Dragons in the locker room. Very weird. We will have that for you just a moment.
So during the game, however, there was some weirdness because Ben Roethlisberger seemed to get hit pretty hard. They're saying it was bruised ribs. He had to leave the game for a little bit. And then there was questions as to whether or not he should have been let back in earlier. Ben Roethlisberger, after the game, made a statement as to saying that I was ready to go in, but they kept me on the sidelines. And there was all sorts of conflicting reports as to why Ben didn't go into the game while the game essentially slipped out of their hands with their backup quarterback in. So yesterday, both sides, Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, tried to explain what happened.
First, regarding Ben's health at halftime, he needed to be evaluated. An x-ray was a part of that. Getting the x-ray executed was not a fluid thing. Even after getting the x-ray, we didn't have great clarity, to be honest with you. Wasn't able to read the x-ray to our satisfaction. It was probably a dated piece of equipment or what have you. So we never really fully had a complete understanding of specifically what the injury was. Medicated him, and then we took the group back out onto the field, not knowing whether he was going to be available or not. Once they came back out on the field, I continued to communicate with Ben to see the effectiveness of the medication, to see how he felt he would be able to perform in terms of function and be able to do the things that he needed to do.
What was the x-ray that they were using back there? It was
it was a Polaroid camera.
Well, it was x-ray glasses. It was the ones that you got in the back of the Boys Life magazine.
There were 3D glasses.
And by the way, the Raiders, they're asked they said, hey, what's up with your equipment? And their statement was like, well, we both use the same equipment.
So that's why we're always banged up.
Yes, thank you, Mark Davis. So Ben Roethlisberger was asked about it, and then things just got even weirder.
I felt a little pain, like in my rib area, but it almost felt just like I got the wind knocked out of me. So that's the kind of the reason, like you said, I stayed on my hands and knees for a little bit and just kind of getting my breath. And then so we did a few X-rays, and then we went back to our locker room. And by the time we got back to our locker room, the team was already on the field. That's how long it took an X-ray. The X-rays that Doc got were, he couldn't tell anything. The x-ray machine was really old, so the x-rays were inconclusive. So yep. Doc basically was like, Ben, it could be one of like three or four things. Yep. I'm not sure what it is.
That's right.
And I said, well, can you get me back in the game? And he goes, I can do that. And so I got some medicine, and by the time I got even dressed, the first Josh's first series was done, and their first series was done before I even got my shoulder pads back on.
Mark Davis, what do they got back there? What are they using in the?
I'll tell you what they got over there. They got beyond the chocolate fountain. There is.
Why would you have a chocolate fountain in the locker room?
Well, why wouldn't you?
I mean, I guess that's a good point.
Dumbass.
It's always a good place to have a chocolate fountain.
They said it's you, stupid. And then we got Legos.
Is the X-ray machine just a selfie photo booth?
Well, no. Dad used to really care about the player's health. So it's just a cardboard tube with a plastic round thing on it.
It was outdated.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know by the condition of the field.
No,
Oakland has highest of high standards.
Yeah, they're just. Now, what is the deal now that they might not play in Oakland next year?
Okay, yeah, so the city of Oakland filed a federal lawsuit against the team for what they're calling an illegal move. They want damages from the team leaving. So now, of course, Oakland's like, well, if you're going to sue us, of course we're going to leave, and we're going to leave a year early. Why would we stay in a place where ongoing litigation?
I'm going to get out of town, get out of Dodge.
Now they have to figure out where they're going to play next year for 1 year.
Where are you going to play, Fred? Where are Mark Davis?
Fred, where are we going to play? I don't know.
Circus World.
Sandbox.
Circus World.
Circus World doesn't exist anymore.
I'm opening it back up.
Yeah, like you got that kind of cash. You know, Gatorland.
Why not?
Let some gators go around. Some sandbox. There's a playground next door. It's got sweet swings.
Gatorland would be the best. Watch out for that croc.
My dad used to go, put your head in the alligator's mouth. And I'd take it out. He'd go, see, Dad? And he'd go, oh, Christ.
It didn't work again.
He'd go, I just wanted you to get your... And I'd go, ah, Dad, I won again. And then he would throw me in a lion cage, and he'd say, and then I'd get out, and he'd go, oh, I can't win.
By the way, Mike Tomlin said...
He wanted me to die.
Yeah, it sounds like you wished you were dead.
Yep.
Well, Mike Tomlin said in his press conference yesterday also that Connor's got a good chance of coming back, and it's possible he returns to the lineup against the Patriots. I'm not quite so sure about that. Usually that injury takes a little bit longer, but needless to say, he did not.
Well, they got to win that game.
That medication, so we medicated him. Why don't they just say we gave him a shot?
Yeah, we doped him up.
Why not say we just gave him a shot, and the reason we couldn't get him back out on the field because we couldn't read the damn x-ray is we wanted to make sure the shot took effect. We had to wait a little bit until the shot took effect, and then we put him back in.
Why would they possibly say that?
Why wouldn't they? I don't understand. Is it illegal to give the guy a shot at halftime?
No, but I don't think it's something that you that
I think he essentially said that.
Well, he said we medicated him.
No, they gave him Toradol.
Yeah, of course they did.
I think he said...
We gave him a Toradol shot? That's what they said?
No, I think he said later on that they gave him a painkiller.
Yeah, they gave him Toradol.
Mike Tomlin said he received treatment for his rib injury. It was a painkilling shot. The reason he's not in the game, he said it takes painkillers some time to kick in, and they had to make sure he was all right. Yeah. So he essentially said that.
Fine.
Yeah, they gave him Toradol. I mean, that's what they did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.